Thanks. Dr. Saraswat has just mentioned a green seeker sensor that they were using for optimizing nitrogen across ag fields, and he gave us some convincing numbers to show why more and more producers are becoming interested in using this technology. As a part of John Wilkerson's lab at the University of Tennessee, we have been working, as have many, actually I see many in this room, that are working towards the real-time application of nitrogen as you move through the field in response to these sensors and some other pursuits. But as a part of that, we started investigating the diurnal effects, both biological and physical, on the results from this type of sensor. So what we have seen in some data I will show in a minute is that there is some significant variability that gets introduced as you move through the course of the day. So when a producer is considering covering a large acreage with this sensor, there is a fair amount of variability that we'll see just directly. Before I move on to that, I'd like to introduce and make sure we're all on the same page with exactly what these active light sensors are doing. What the Green Seeker is doing is one example. They use an active light source which removes the reliance on a constant ambient light, and that allows for running essentially in the dark if you wanted to, but typically you could run in cloudy conditions as equally as you could run in sunlight. So this is an example of one of these sensors to face up so that you can see the active light source and the detectors that are used. There are typically, with the two dominant sensors that are on the market today, they are or have been using two wave bands that are modulated to do that ambient light exclusion. And the two wave bands that are typical have been used in vegetation indices that have related to lots of different things. About every researcher in agriculture can relate NDVI, the normalized difference vegetation index, to something that they're studying, it seems. Biomass is the primary. Plant vigor, it can also be related strongly to NDVI. Those are the two dominant ones that the manufacturers use, as well as nitrogen status of the crop, the water stress, maturity, and several other things. This is an example of when you pair the NDVI information with a GPS position in the field, you can start making maps like many of us are doing now of information for a spatial example and for spatial analyses. In this case, you notice my lighter colors are the lower NDVI, the lower plant vigor, the lower biomass, and the darker colors, the dark blue, is the higher of those values. And you see here, compared to a cotton yield map, that in fact the yield and the NDVI do not correlate. So there are other factors that are playing into this. Additionally here, these were two maps that I made several months ago. I had not put labels on these two maps. One was made with a height sensor that we use in our lab. The other was made with a active light sensor. And frankly, I can't tell you which one is which, because the height in this case correlated so well with the NDVI. So back to my concern of the diurnal cycle impacts on these sensors, we took, in 2007, we collected data over the same row of plants five times throughout the day, and you notice we didn't come up with the same numbers. I would not attribute this to anything but environmental factors. However, we were concerned that there could be potentially be a systematic issue. In 2008, we collected 9 different observations of the same rows of cotton, except we used 3 varieties. So we run variety 1, 2, and 3, and then repeat that. And you see that over the course of the day, we had very significant variation in the NDVI readings reported, up to 0.06 in the NDVI, and when we're talking about a real-time nitrogen application, you're going to start getting a different nitrogen application on the same cotton depending on what time of the day you're running. And like I say, this is likely due to the response of the cotton plant throughout the day, perhaps a leaf angle change and other things. But before we went into trying to attribute that to biological characteristics, we looked into the systematic influence of the different diurnal cycle characters on the response of these sensors. So I may have mentioned there are two dominant sensors on the market today. They're commercially available. There's the Green Seeker that Dr. Saraswat mentioned, and there's also the Crop Circle by Holland Scientific. This little investigative study incorporates both of these sensors. Basically, we started out, we drug these out in the parking lot with standard pieces of fabric that we used throughout the study. And we were collecting data in the parking lot for 20-minute increments with one sensor at a time, just looking at the noise introduced by a mostly cloudy day or sunny day. We collected a lot of this preliminary data, but with this, we did not have ambient light intensity. So this is an example of that type of data set. You see the two lines. I have two lines of or two components to each of these three lines. I was running two sensors, two of the Green Seeker sensors in this case, that were run for 20 minutes each. And you see that there is a fair amount of noise shown here. However, whether it's significant or not for a management perspective is yet to be seen. What we did do was go further. I wanted to get multiple replicates of the sensor running at the same time. And I went to a system that had six of the Green Seeker sensors. I used six individual fabric targets and used a pyrometer leveled to collect the incoming ambient radiation that was logged on a data logger, a power supply to decouple the system from the vehicle power so I'd get no undulation in the power supply, and I logged the Green Seeker information on a PC laptop. The system was set, I left it at the owner's settings, so the NDVI information from the sensors was coming out 2 times a second, and the data was logged raw directly from the Green Seekers with only the addition of a PC timestamp. The ambient radiation was logged 10 times a second with a Campbell Scientific data logger, and immediately prior to the data being collected, the PC and the data logger clocks were synced. So this is a map of the full 6 hours that this data was collected. Each of these lines is one of the sensors on that boom. We ask a lot of nature as people working in agriculture, and the day that I collected this data could not have turned out better for me for what I was looking for. I was wanting some good clear blue sky and then variation introduced by the big puffy white clouds. And you can almost tell me what the sky looked like here. For the first half of the day, I had clear, perfect blue sky. And you see that each of these lines moves fairly straight across that profile. I do want to point out, and we step back to the previous slide, if you can see here in the picture, the center two sensors are mounted very close to the vehicle tires here. And that is what I'll attribute the S77 and S78 in this case, the two sensors that are not behaving as the others were. And then sensor 80, they had known to have a hardware issue, and we do see that sensor drop out during part of this study. So those three sensors I've just mentioned won't be mentioned any further. So for what I'm talking about here, I'm interested in the variability, and I will be focusing in on this latter 2 hours of my data set because this is when the clouds rolled in. This is when I started getting good ambient light variability, and they rolled in, and then they got more and more significant. So I move now. This is still it's a zoomed in picture of the information of that 2 hours for the three sensors that I felt were representative of the system. You see that I've stretched the scale, so this looks much more significant than it is. But we are seeing spikes, peaks, and valleys in each one of the sensor outputs here. And when we overlay the ambient light, you can see my ambient light is on the right-hand axis and the NDVI is on the left. You see that the peaks and valleys line up perfectly. They're strongly related just from here. And like I say, whether there was this response to ambient light is significant, probably not. These numbers, the variation in any of these sensors is within the error that the GreenSeeker already claims as a 0.03. So this is nothing to get worried about yet. What it does do is spawns the need for further investigation into this topic. Here you see just a XY scatter plot with ambient light intensity on the X-axis and the NDVI on the Y-axis. And I stuck a line through it and the R-square was 0.9. Very strong relationship as we saw in that figure. We included the other of the dominant active light sensors in this study. And you see the high-tech mounting rig here that allowed me to get the precision placement over my target. I include that as a second line. My top green line is the average of those three GreenSeeker sensors and their response that we've just been looking at. And the blue line that has been added on the bottom is this second sensor, the crop circle. You notice it responds similarly, but exactly opposite. I'm not going to begin to try to explain why that is. I have frankly no idea. But we get the same type of response to ambient light. Just seems to be a mirror image. XY scatter plot of the same magnitude. The scale is the same. It's about 0.02 on the y-axis. There's no relationship. And looking back at this figure, I would say it dips when the ambient light dips. It doesn't when it doesn't. So what's going on? That's something I found interesting. But what that suggests is we can take the linear relationship of the GreenSeeker and we can adjust for that ambient light influence in the field as long as that's being monitored. I step here to a figure with the y-axis. I normalized each observation from each of these sensors with the average for all of the data that was collected. So what we get is a one-to-one comparison of the variability that was introduced by the ambient light for each one of these sensors. And you see, again, it's a mirror image. The one thing I note, and likely the driving factor of the lack of relationship between ambient light and the crop circle data output, is the GreenSeeker shows a trend to move from left to right up across the one or the 100% line there, and the crop circle is much more horizontal in its progression. So in conclusion, both of the sensors showed response to ambient light radiation. Was it significant in this case? Probably not. It was minor noise. The data that I collected this in December. So ambient light intensity was low, solar angle was low. There are many different things that will change with the time of the year. So for instance, the spectral distribution is likely to change, as well as the intensity and the ambient radiation. So for future directions of this study, I will attempt to repeat the test during the peak growing season so I get the full ambient radiation that would be the case when the application was being made. I'd like to incorporate the addition of some other measurements with the solar angle and the spectral distribution, as well as start to look at that sensor-to-sensor variability between each of these, within each one of these systems. So I just briefly acknowledge Cotton Incorporated, the staff at the Jackson Research and Education Center in West Tennessee, InTech Industries and Holland Scientific for their cooperation as I moved through this. And with that, I've got a little bit of time for a question. Alex.
Yeah, were you, when you were comparing comparing the output of the sensor to mm-hmm. the ambient light, mm-hmm. you are only using the NDVI signal coming out. The reason I ask is you've got two detectors that are working together to produce NDVI.
Mm-hmm.
The calculation of NDVI is going to introduce nonlinearity into the data.
Okay.
If you look at those uh-huh. detectors individually, their mm-hmm. output may line up better with ambient light than what you saw with NDVI.
In this case, I was only using NDVI. I'm actually not even in the study, in the work that we do break out the two component bands for investigation with this system, because it was a borrowed system. I did not go in and change the settings to be able to even look at those two component bands, but I see your point.
Yeah, on your two center sensors that were, uh-huh. you said were near the tires.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious why you tossed that data out or chose not to look at that closer, maybe why those sensors were lower NDVI.
I think the reason I removed those is because I felt that the sensor was close enough to that tire of the sprayer that this tire of the sprayer was actually in the field of view of the sensor. And it also caused my target to have to be twisted such that I didn't feel it was fairly represented. And I suspected even with the tire of the spirit or the sprayer in the picture, there would be a different response than just my flat fabric target. That's why I removed those. It's about
ideally speaking, when we talk about active sensors,
uh-huh.
the cloud or any weather condition should not hamper the working or functionality.
I agree.
So that's the reason why I was kind of curious to know why you talk about this clear skies and cloudy skies and chunk that data. Again,
uh-huh.
I got that explanation about the tires, but
uh-huh.
certainly you can use that data, I believe.
Oh, I think so. The reason I was going for the clear skies and cloudy skies was for the natural introduction of the high and the low intensity, with whatever variation in the spectral region would come with passing through the cloud. That's why I did that.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our next